Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome to the Wizards of Ecom, your no-fluff playbook for online success. Each episode is fully packed with actionable tactics you can implement in your business right now. Take your life to a higher level and excel in your online success. It's time to work on you and your business. Let's do this.
Welcome back to the Wizards of Ecom podcast. This is episode number 135. My name is Carlos Alvarez, and I will be your host for the show. On today's episode, I'm going to share my takeaways from my recent tour of a USA-based factory in Boston. In episode 120, I shared the top 10 conferences and trade shows I planned on attending this year, 2021. One of those shows was Seller Velocity, and I invited you to a tour of a Boston-based factory that specialized in private labeling anything liquid in a bottle. I mean, anything. For those of you that toured the factory with me, kudos. It was a blast touring this factory with you. For those that did not, all of us that attended, suffice it to say, were completely blown away. I'm going to share how this, in this episode, I'm going to share how this tour has impacted my approach toward sourcing private label products, primarily from China. The goal of this episode is to challenge your China-first approach when it comes to PL and share with you and introduce you to a factory that has low MOQs, great pricing, and is USA-based, who could potentially be the factory that launches your next PL. Before breaking down my findings for this factory, I wanted to take a moment to remind you that Online Seller Cruise sets sail on February 5th and that cabins are going fast. If you are legitimately interested in growing your Amazon or e-com business with some of the brightest minds in the industry, feel free, I give you permission, pause this episode and grab your tickets at OnlineSellerCruise.com. Now, I have to give credit for discovering this factory to my friend and fellow wizard of Amazon, Tom Mays. Tom's, you know, inner circle for the Wizards of Amazon or Amazon Seller Meetup Group, listener of this podcast. Tom and I have been on a mission to discover alternatives to sourcing in China even since before the pandemic. Tom is the one that found this factory, coordinated the tour, and developed the relationship to the amazing spot that it is now. COVID, price increases, the nightmare that is logistics now, 400% increases in sea freight or more, energy shortages, and the overall direction of, say, the China government really has only made this like mission, if you will, to crack the code on alternative to sourcing in China all the more urgent to us. To give your mind, when I'm going to go through the rest of this episode and share with you, like, in bite-sized chunks, what impressed me so much about this factory and why I think you should give them a shot. But to give your mind some product ideas to think about while I share my favorite parts of this factory can make everything from witch hazel, shampoos, pipe cleaners, to vampire blood, and everything in between. Those are very real examples of stuff they make, and literally everything in between. So without further ado, here are my top takeaways from this factory. So this is not in any particular order, by the way, as far as this is the number one thing that just sold me. These are just the different areas I was able to, like, that still really stand out to me after touring the factory. And I remember being taken aback by them while I was there. So one, and this will help with the visual, one is I forget the square footage, but this factory was massive. Multi-level. In addition, they're actively expanding to something that's like 4 to 6 times larger than what they have now. I mean, literally, they're building that new facility out as I record this. Now, why that's a big deal for me is, first, this factory's been around for 20-odd years, and it screams stability. This is not a factory that's growing just because, you know, hand sanitizer is a popular thing. No, this they obviously rode that wave of hand sanitizer, but this factory just supplies some of the biggest names in the industry. Very, very stable, not going anywhere. And this lets me feel that there's going to be no issues with capacity. Number two here is going to be this factory has low MOQs and competitive pricing. So this is really the holy grail for most PL sellers. To put this in perspective, while at the factory and since searching on my own, I have found plenty of items selling on Amazon at the $18.99 to say $25 plus range with costs at the factory of all in $1.50. And by all in, I'm talking about the product, branded packaging, boxed and ready to ship. Remember, before you start adding costly sea freight, by the way, keep in mind this is a USA-based factory in Boston. So we're talking relatively cheap, even though it's gone up, domestic freight. If you don't just have it shipped over to a 3PL nearby in Boston or dripped into Amazon FBA. So the MOQs are almost identical to China, in my opinion. Even lesser if you factor in the extras you usually need to order to stay in stock and consider sea freight after lead times and shipping costs. So the reason why you're probably scratching your head now, I thought you said MOQs and now you're saying that the MOQs are about the same as China. The reason why I'm saying this factory has low MOQs is that I have sort of been brainwashed or drank the Kool-Aid over the last 15 years on this unchallenged fact that, I'm doing air quotes here for fact, this like unchallenged fact that all USA-based factories have crippling MOQs. It's total BS. Total BS, and I have a lot more colorful words to add to that, but I don't want this podcast episode to have issues or have to be flagged as explicit, but the MOQs here were 500, 1,000, and 5,000 pieces, depending on sizes. This was right there with what I'm used to seeing in most Chinese factories. So if you're ordering something that's like half a gallon worth or more, you're looking at anywhere from 250 to 500 pieces. Things that are in like the 6, 8, and 16-ounce range between 1,000 and 5,000 pieces. So using the cost that I just mentioned above, and I guess we'll revisit that, $1.50 all in, and you're looking at, say, the high number here of 5,000 pieces. Again, there was a ton that was like between 500 and 3,000. But you're looking at under $7,000 in inventory that's available within like 3 weeks. So that blows my mind. I don't have anything like that going on in my businesses that's that sweet. So that's where, when I say low MOQs, that's what I'm thinking. It's much lower than anything I have been told and sometimes a few quotes as to what to expect from USA-based factories. So number three here is going to be short lead times. So this was really exciting for me as most of my products fall into, you know, the ceramic, porcelain, plastics categories with the accompanying lead times of like 60-day lead time. So 45 to 60-day lead time, usually like a quote of 30 and then it falls to 45 or 45 and it winds up being 60. But the ability to have the types of lead times for almost any product that they make, which she said was between like 10 and 20 days lead time, so like sub 3 weeks. This has me really looking forward to placing the first order and knowing that the date of completion means it is actually ready to ship to FBA already in the USA. So that has me extraordinarily stoked. And I'm sure anybody listening to this, lead times is a big deal, and it's how long you're going to have your cash floating out there. It's opportunity cost. It's a big deal. Number four, e-com savvy. Now, if I was to organize these, and maybe I should have them, like I got this in my head, but like maybe I should have organized these in my head as far as like most impressive to least, or maybe least to most. This one and the next one would probably be at the top of my list, even though made in the USA with low MOQs, competitive pricing, and short lead times is the holy grail. These next two, I think you're going to agree with me. These next two really get me excited. And that is, the factory is e-com savvy. So all too often I communicate with factories and they're just sort of clueless. Like I'll order something, they know it's for e-commerce. Obviously I'm not going to let them do this, but they want to send me some paper thin box that's protecting this. And they really have no concept of e-commerce and thinking with the customer in mind, thinking about what the e-commerce supply chain looks like. So in this area, this factory really enamored me with their knowledge of how rough e-com was on the packaging. Specifically, referencing the different hands it went through and how Amazon will just toss it in with other products in a box not sized to accommodate. And I mean, when I'm talking to the person, this is the owner, and you could see other people on the assembly line that would say the same. These were people, they were talking like they were sellers, like they were sellers in the trenches with us, that they were at a networking event or a meetup, and they do this every day. So it was like, they really understood. They weren't just parroting something that they heard. An additional thing was the factory skill when it came to innovation at no cost. So this is the same point here with being e-commerce savvy. So they use this innovation and what they know works and doesn't work at no additional cost to you. So an example is after learning of the feedback that when heavier plastic bottles full of liquid, so imagine like a 16-ounce bottle of witch hazel, and it has a cap on it, right? So after they learned that when these bottles that were in great shape, but when they were dropped, if they happened to be dropped like right on the cap could crack, and worst case scenario, the cap would rupture, obviously spilling all the liquid contents, or the bottle would dent so badly, it was not a nice presentation to the buyer. So the factory took it upon themselves to design a specific type of cardboard ring that would not only prevent rupturing and denting, but also looked aesthetically pleasing. Additional cost on this was like a few cents. It was done super, super slick. They're also completely aware of prepping guidelines and stuff like that, so your stuff can come prepped appropriately and complying with Amazon's terms of service. So that really blew me away. I felt like I was talking to a seller of many years, an Amazon seller of many years, and in reality, the person has never sold on Amazon, and that's not his thing. He's worked with e-commerce and Amazon sellers for years. Number five, this is going to be my last point here, and if you're not blown away at this point, then maybe e-com and private label is not for you, but I'm going to call this one like the ability to differentiate. So besides the shape of your bottle and branding guidelines, which granted are extremely important parts of the product, the factory said something to us that has me questioning my own five senses. One of my five senses to this day, specifically, it is the sense of smell. So trying to paint a picture here, we're towards the end of our tour. We're completely blown away. Like there's nothing else we think that we could hear at this point that could get us more excited as private label sellers. And then we step inside the lab, and this is where they're actually formulating stuff and making your specific recipe for your liquid product. Super affordable, by the way. I think he said it's roughly like 10 man hours or $500, something like that. So we step into this lab, and in one area of the lab, there's these vials. They look like aromatherapy type bottles, like, or at least the ones I have of like eucalyptus and peppermint and all that stuff with a little dropper in the top of it. So we're in this room, and Ed, who has an amazing sense of humor, by the way, he leans into us. He's made for the stage. I mean, this guy can act. He's a business person. So he leans into us and he says, like, super like this, I really want you to like feel like you're there right now. But this little like mischievous wink comes over him and lets us like in on a little secret, if you will. And he's like, my business, that even though his factory manufactures all things liquid in a bottle, his real, air quotes here, his real business is fragrances. Yeah, fragrances. So the two examples he shared, and I'll try to break these down for you, was shampoos and leather cleaner. So with the shampoos, he shared a story of a now globally known, I'm intentionally avoiding brand names and stuff here, but he shared the story of a now globally known pet shampoo brand that at the time was a very successful like mail order catalog brand in the pet space, right? So he shares this story, this now globally known pet shampoo brand trying to penetrate the physical products business of the pet space with dog shampoos, right? Amazing email list. They've been building this thing forever. Great brand. I know the brands. I used to buy products to resell from them. As I understand the story is that the brand comes to Ed after a colossal failure and costly product flop and wants to see how to improve this. So Ed's team takes a quick sniff of the product quickly. like that literally took a quick sniff and immediately says it has zero scent. So because imagine you open this bottle, it could be an amazing formula. It could be the best dog shampoo in the world. But when you open it, it has no scent. I mean, I would think some people may even like that it has no scent, right? But no, that's not what works. And he starts getting into like the types of people that actually usually bathe the dog, and how a dog being bathed and afterwards not having a certain scent would probably make people think that the dogs, like, we're trained to think that certain scents mean clean or mean dirty or mean spoiled or something like that. So he takes a quick look and discovers this thing has zero scent and immediately introduces some scent suggestions based on this scent factory that he knows. And this is not just this only scent factory in the world. And he winds up suggesting something like a lavender or lemony clean scent, and voila, the product has explosive sales and becomes the globally known brand that it is today. And the only thing that changed, there was no change in branding, no anything. The only thing that changed was they introduced a scent. The example with the leather cleaner, staying in the same vein, very similar. Amazing leather cleaning liquid. Like it really was. The product was scentless. Ed does his magic. Ed's the factory owner again. Ed does his magic, and he adds this, and this got passed around the room actually for us to smell. And the scent is called Italian leather. And before smelling the Italian leather scent, again, this liquid in a bottle and liquid magic in a bottle, I would say, we smelled two different types of leather scents. And a few things that stood out to you when you smelled it was, wow, you felt like you had a piece of genuine leather like stuffed against your nose and you were smelling it like just after being cut. The other one was both scents were different and both helped you like visualize leather. Finally, the Italian leather, I don't know, it would be so hard to put into words, except you feel like you were transported to Italy smelling the leather. Like that's the only way I can describe it. So they introduced this Italian leather scent to the product, and mind equals blown. This brand like 10x's their sales. And again, to make it more exciting, the factory says to determine like what scents would work with your formula or anything like that, if they don't already know it, like if you wanted something different, it takes them about 10 hours or about 400 to 500 USD to create this for your own private label product. So those are my main points. I want to share this because if you're like me, you're very interested and you're going to be very interested in like contacting this factory and working with them. So the process for working them is very simple. You just reach out to them and let them know what you're thinking about doing. On the tour, Ed was very, very open with even like sharing ideas. Again, he has a wealth of knowledge to draw on from this, but it's as simple as just getting a product and sending it to them. And in their labs, they'll be able to redo it or identify what it is and be able to do that same thing for you. As we were going through there, we saw other bottles and other brands and we were like, wow, you make that. And in some cases they did, but in other cases they were like, no, this is another brand. Like you wouldn't share the name. This is another brand and they want to compete against this brand. And this is kind of like the gold standard. So they want to do the same thing or make a slight improvement on it. So it's as simple as just ordering a product on Prime and having it sent to the factory. I'm sure Ed would let you send something directly there, but obviously you'd need to reach out to him first to be able to square away those details. So I sincerely want anyone who is legitimately interested in working with this factory to be able to. However, I do not want to blanket publish the details to blow up his inbox. It would be simple, but I feel maybe disrespectful. So just drop this person's email address and name of their company in the show notes of this episode. And I'm not going to like hide this behind an email sign up or anything like that. I'm not that, like my purposes here are very, I guess they're altruistic, and I just, it's out of respect for the contact. So I did set up an easy way for me to be able to share this information with you, as well as I guess a small hurdle to turn away the people that are just not serious and that are just going to blow up this person's inbox with BS. So I will share the information with you, the person's name, the factory name. Heck, I'll probably even do a personal email introduction if you want. All you need to do, join our free Telegram chat group at amazongroupchat.com. It's on Telegram. If you want to connect and then you want to bail from the group afterwards, that's fine too. But just join our free Telegram chat group at amazongroupchat.com. When you do, you're going to join the Wizards of Ecom chat. Just ask for me. Just say, hey, Carlos. Hey, at Carlos, can you share the Boston factory contact information that you mentioned on the podcast? Or can you do an email intro with me? We'll take it to a side chat. I'll get your email and we'll do that email intro. Or I'll just share the information with you and you could totally take it from there. You know, website is available. That's how they do business. So that's fine. But and then once you're there, once you have that information, if you want to join any of our other Amazon chat rooms, they're very active. And you're welcome to do that. Just update your profile picture. Let me know what chat room you want to go to, and that'll get taken care of. So this show has been rapidly growing, guys. I love sharing this sort of information with you that I know will really help your business scale or just scale greater than where it's at now. We're not even close to taking our foot off the gas on this. And the way to get this to help, this show to be able to help even more sellers, is to not only share it, but to leave a quick review. Your support means the world to me, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
It was fun sharing this episode with you. If you found value in what you've heard, please show your love with a subscribe, rate, and review of the show. Until next time.